Hey guys, welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin, and today is Tuesday, July 27th, 2021. Wanted to thank Michelle Edenfield, who, if you didn't get to check out our interview we just did at our 12:30 time slot, you can go back and watch that, on demand anytime. We're also going to have it available on podcast form. She, is very brave, shares the story of her daughter, Melina. That's why I'm wearing green today. Green for Melina, always choose joy. And that event that's coming up on August 7th is going to be a fantastic event for, especially if you have kids, grandkids, whatever. Go check that out in Canfield, 11:30 to 4, August 7th on the green in Canfield. It's a great fundraiser. As she said, cancer research, especially pediatric cancer, is so underfunded. Now, obviously, there are billions and billions of dollars pumped into cancer research by our federal government. However, less than 4% of all of those funds go to pediatric cancer, and less than 1% of that 4% go to pediatric brain cancer research. So anything you guys can do to help out that foundation is going to be, welcomed. So check them out again, the Michelle Molina Foundation. They're on Facebook. And if you didn't get a chance to watch and listen to that show, please do. It's, it's just awesome. And the strength that that family has, I get choked up just thinking about it, and it's not my family, but you can just hear the strength in her voice and what that little girl, who is only 4 years old, conveyed, and sharing her message going forward is so important. So thank you to everyone involved with our foundation. I'm sorry to keep ranting on this, but it's so important that we find those dollars and eventually a cure. So, kids don't have to go through this. Parents don't have to go through this. And I think, we can look each other in the eye, and everyone out there, at one point or another has been affected by cancer some way or another. My mom is a breast cancer survivor, and she has done so much. I can't get into it, or I'll get choked up, but just the strength of that. But everyone out there, again, knows someone that's gone through some sort of struggle, and anything we can do to help, rid this disease is welcome. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. We are a sports show, and I want to get into what's going on in the world. But, I just strongly feel that message is so powerful, that choose joy, because, there's so much we can complain about in our day-to-day lives. But, choose joy is a great message for everyone to take with them. Okay, so today on our show, what we're going to talk about, there's a ton in the sports world that happened over the weekend. We do our top five Tuesdays. We're going to get into that in just a minute here. That's going to be on NBA draft busts. So, we did a quarterback one before the NFL draft, back in, April. Now we're going to do it on the top number one overall picks, the biggest draft busts of all time. We'll talk about that soon. A lot of Olympic news, especially this morning with Simone Biles. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NBA draft prospects for the Cleveland Cavaliers coming up. There's been some huge NFL and huge college football news that broke over the weekend. We will talk about that. Some Youngstown news, some cool historic Youngstown news in the out there. So we'll get to that. But first, obviously, the biggest story, at least in Northeast Ohio, over the weekend in the sports world, was the name change for the Cleveland Indians. So they will no longer be the Cleveland Indians. They are going to be named the Cleveland Guardians. We had talked about, speculated about what their name might be. Guardians was one of them. Spiders was another, the Cleveland Baseball Club, the Blues, you know, different things like that. But they landed on the Cleveland Guardians. I'll give you my opinions on that in a little bit. But the first thing I want to do is we're going to go ahead and show you a video, once I bring it up correctly, of it's actually pretty cool how this was handled. I did not know Tom Hanks even had some ties in Cleveland. He narrates this video that you're going to watch. I believe it's from MSNBC, but we're going to go ahead and watch that now, and you'll kind of hear about the history of it.
It is time for the last thing before we go tonight. And in order for this segment to work, we need to agree on just a few things. First off, we need to agree that Cleveland, Ohio is a great American city full of great Americans. I mean, for starters, they had to put the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame somewhere. They chose Cleveland. We also need to agree that our country is changing. And we need to agree that Tom Hanks, as Vanity Fair wrote today, represents, quote, all that is still right and good about America. You see, Vanity Fair wrote that about Tom Hanks today because Tom Hanks, longtime Cleveland Indian fan and veteran of Cleveland Summer Shakespeare Theater Company as a young actor, that Tom Hanks gave us all the following. A video on behalf of the Cleveland Indians announcing a big change for the team and for that city.
We are a city on the rise, forging into the future from our ironed-out past. We are a city of fire and water, of trees and towers, built through generations of blue collars and the brightest scholars, and all of those who have worked harder. We hold tight to our roots and set our sights on tomorrow. And this is our team that has stood with our city for more than a century, from Old Municipal to the corner of Carnegie. A team that has seen its own progress and prosperity. Its history flows like the river through the heart of this city. A history that has given us miraculous moments. Moments that spanned years and others 22 games. Moments that broke barriers and moments that broke hearts. Moments that prove this is more than a game. We remember those moments as we move forward with change. You see, it has always been Cleveland that's the best part of our name. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest, to come together and welcome all who want to join us. We are loyal and proud and resilient. We protect what we've earned and always defend it. Together we stand with all who understand what it means to be born and built from the land. Because this is the city we love and the game we believe in. And together, we are all Cleveland Guardians.
You heard the man. Guardians it is. They get their name from the giant guardian statues there at the Hope Memorial Bridge that crosses the Cuyahoga River and is really the gateway to the stadium. Right on. Okay.
All right. We're back. So I thought that video was pretty good to kind of just encapsulate what it the new name means. So obviously we know the statues. If you've ever been to downtown Cleveland, by the stadium, you've seen those statues before on the Hope Memorial Bridge. They're very cool looking. You know, and I'm going to get into sort of the pros and cons of this name and different things like that here in a second. But I want to kind of give you a brief history of the team name. So everyone that's watching this show right now has known them as the Cleveland Indians because they've been named that since 1915. I'm guessing we don't have any viewers that were born in 1914 or before, But 1915, they became the Indians. So here's a little history of, you know, the Cleveland Indians franchise and the Cleveland Guardians franchise now, where it came from. So in 1901, the baseball team was created, and they were first named the Blues. In 1902, so only 1 year of the Blues, I actually thought that would have been a really cool name going forward. In 1902, they were known as the Broncos with an H, B-R-O-N-C-H-O-S. In 1903 to 1914, they were known as the Cleveland Naps. And you might say Naps, like that's kind of weird, but one of their more famous players was named Napoleon, and they just kind of tagged it with that. So that'd almost be like the Cavs changing their team name to the LeBrons, you know, back then, that, you know, something like that. Or, you know, if you're a big like Jim Tomey fan, like the Cleveland Tomeys, that seems a little weird, but, you know, that's where they went. So 1903 to 1914, they were known as the Naps. And then since then, 1915 to currently, to up until last Friday, they became, they were the Cleveland Indians. So in 2022, they will be known as the Guardians. We're going to keep the same color scheme, the red, white, and blue, the gray. So, you know, not a ton is going to change. And whether you like, here's, I guess, the point I'm trying to make. Whether you like this name or not, it's not going to make a real big difference on the field, you know? Again, the color scheme looks the same. They're still going to have Cleveland across the chest. You know, the fonts may be a little different. Obviously, the Guardians name is a little different, and it's going to take a little bit of time to get used to. You know, again, everyone that's alive right now has known them as the Cleveland Indians. But I thought the best part of that video was the point when Tom Hanks said, you know, the most important part of our name has been Cleveland, you know, so it's always going to be Cleveland. So if you like Cleveland, if you like the baseball team in Cleveland, if you like the Browns, if you like the Cavs, you're still going to like this team. That's the bottom line, you know, and if you don't, you don't, that's your opinion. And, you know, we got to respect that. But I want to show you a few more things. Regarding the logos and different things like that. And that's my only issue, you know, that I have with this. So the first logo I want to show you, or the first image I want to show you, is the actual bridge. So here's what the bridge, and there's four of these statues on the Hope Memorial Bridge. They're really cool looking. I don't know what kind of architecture that is. Somebody smarter than me would know, but it's just pretty cool. So, you know, and people might say, well, we're named after a bridge or a statue on a bridge. Well, you know, if you think about it, there's teams named after Sox, for God's sakes, the Red Sox, the White Sox, you know what I mean? It's like, there's a lot of dumb team names out there. You're going to eventually, this will grow on you. You will like it. And if you don't like it, you'll at least learn to be okay with it, you know, if you're a Cleveland baseball fan. I thought that bridge image was pretty cool. Here is the script Guardians that they're going to go with. And I saw a few people out there on Twitter and different things like that. But they said, basically, if you split it kind of like in half, it almost looks like it spells out Indians. You know, if you take, you know, the almost the one part of the G, the front part of the G, and a little bit of the R, it looks like an IN, and then Guardians and Indians both end in DIANS. So, you know, not a real big difference there. Not a huge difference there. There's going to be the font on the gray uniforms, you know, so not a huge difference there. It's a little different of a font, more of goes with that architecture, but again, not a huge change. I do like the new block C. I think that's kind of cool. It's just like a little bit more pointed at the tops or on the angles, but not a big difference there. Now, the big area of complaint I have heard is with this G logo. It looks like it almost has like some wings on the back of it with a baseball. So I do have a little bit of issue with this one. It's not my favorite look. It almost looks like the California Angels way back when they had the, you know, the flying A with the baseball. It really has a like a Disney type look to it. Again, not my favorite. You know, is it going to prevent me from liking the team? No. You know, what they do on the field is still going to matter the most. Now, they're going to have to change things around the stadium. You know, the script Indians that's on the scoreboard, that'll probably become the Guardians or Cleveland or something like that. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be this huge deal. So, I don't know. Lucas, what do you think about that logo? First of all, do you even like the Indians or what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I do like the Indians.
Okay. All right.
I like it. I think, you know, it was time for a change, obviously, with everything going around the name Indians. That being said, some of the logos just look a little bit rushed. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, they probably were rushed.
Sure, sure.
I mean, I like the name overall. I think it's going to grow on a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it off the bat. Definitely better than spiders, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
like it.
I think the thought with spiders, and I've heard so many people that love that name, but I've heard a lot of people with spiders that are like, it's so polarizing. Either people loved it or hated it.
Right.
And as a franchise, that's probably not a great marketing decision. So, you know, they could have done a lot of really cool things with that. Yes. But in the long run, it probably wasn't the best decision. So I'm okay with this. I really am. I've had some time to think about it and let it set in, and it's not going to change my life really. You know, right. I'm still going to like the team, whatever, but yeah, I think, there's a company called GV Artwork, out of Cleveland. They do these amazing designs. And I think it would be cool for the club to, you know, work with them on a possible new logo, or, you know, a new, like that G design, I think could be a little bit better. I saw someone on Reddit put these logos out that look kind of cool. They're more like 3D looking. They're more, I don't know, smooth looking, I guess you could say. So you can just, you can go out there and Google Cleveland Guardians and see all the different possible logos, that teams, that people had out there. Now, I put together a poll on Twitter this past weekend, and I just put, you know, what are your thoughts on the new name? So I gave people four options: love it, hate it, it'll grow on me, or whatever, they're still the Tribe. So an overwhelming majority said they loved it. So, you know, more than almost 44%, or actually 44%, 22% said they hated it, 22% said it'll grow on me, and then, you know, the last 12% said, whatever, they're still the Tribe. So I understand everyone's feelings. I don't want to get in a woke argument or anything like that. I get it. Now, the Cleveland owner, Dolan, who a lot of people don't love because he doesn't spend a whole lot of money, he actually said something I thought was a great comment. He said, they asked him, like, you know, it took a lot of guts to make this change. And he's like, well, if I had a lot of guts, I would have changed it 20 years ago. He said, the whole George Floyd, incident and the way the country was going was what kind of finally shifted this focus for him. Now, we've obviously seen what the Redskins, obviously no longer, a team named there, known as the Washington Football Team, going forward. And they're going to unveil a new name next year. I could see a lot more teams doing this, but we still have high schools. I think there's like 200 some high schools in just the state of Ohio that have Native American mascots. So, you know, I've played against teams when I coached that were named the Redskins, that were named the Indians, that were named the Braves, whatever it might be, the Chiefs. And there's a lot of those still in professional sports. So we'll see how that all unfolds. But I think at the end of the day, I'm okay with this. You know, I'm okay with this logo. I'm okay with this new branding. Would I like the G logo changed a little bit? Yes. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of passionate fans. It's going to take either a while to get over this, or, hey, if it's that big of a deal and you don't like it, I mean, we'll see you later. You know, I know not everyone's going to love it, but it is what it is at this point. It would have been kind of cool to see a little bit more fan interaction. Maybe they narrow it down to 5 and then the fans vote on it. But apparently they went through almost 1,200 names. Wow. So, you know, and they trademarked, you know, all this stuff. So we'll see how it goes in the future. But at the end of the day, they're still the Indians until the end of the season. And you could still call them the Indians. You can still wear your Cleveland Indians stuff. You can wear your Chief Wahoo stuff to the stadium. No one's going to tell you you can't do that. But, you know, just go Cleveland, you know, I guess at the end of the day. So that's what it's going to be. So a little bit, and we'll talk more about that name going forward too. And, you know, if they come out with uniforms and whatever. But I do want to, one other news and notes for the Indians. Now they have really struggled at the All-Star game. And I think they're going to be sellers here coming up at the trade deadline. But one good piece of news, even though he was unable to be at the game because he had some sort of illness, is Terry Francona became the second winningest manager in Cleveland Indians or Cleveland baseball history. I mean, it's going to get used to saying that. He passed Mike Hargrove, which everybody loved Mike Hargrove, with now 722 wins. He's going to pass Lou Boudreau in the next 2 weeks with 728 wins. He ranks up there at the top. So congratulations to Terry Francona on, you know, what he has done in his short time here in Cleveland. So just a great, great manager, great guy by all accounts. And hopefully, you know, the Indians don't look like they're going to be competitive in the playoffs this year because of injuries and other things. But hopefully next year we can get it going, but like use this year as sort of a catapult for the rest of the year. So now let's switch gears. Let's talk about the Olympics. So I'm going to just basically 3 notes on the Olympics. And the first 2 are negative, and then the last one's going to be positive. So the first one got to bring up, and I believe the U.S. men's basketball team plays again today. I think they play Iran and the Czech Republic still. But and I'm not sure. There's like a 13-hour time difference between us and Japan. But going back to this weekend, the U.S. lost its first basketball game to France. They were actually up by 7 points with 4 minutes to go. And ended up losing by 7. They went 1 of 9 shooting down the stretch to lose. First time since 2004 that they've lost in the Olympics. And, you know, I think they finished with the bronze medal in 08 or 04. I can't remember which one. But, you know, they were on a 25-game winning streak since then. So obviously not a good look. Losing that first game, especially after those exhibition games to start the year for them. So, you know, they have to win the next 2 just to make the medal round. So this is basically their seeding in their pool play. So again, they play Iran, who I don't think of Iran as a traditional basketball power. So I'm going to guess they're going to be okay in that. And the Czech Republic, I guess you never know. There's some good dudes out there. And Luka Doncic, just on a side note, had 48 points in his Olympic debut. So Slovenia, is that the correct country? I believe it's Slovenia. And I saw they were a 24-1 favorite to win the gold. So if you can still get them at those odds, you might want to bet on Slovenia with Luka. So we'll see. But I still put money on the U.S. Getting to the finals at least. But they got a long way to go, and they got some struggles. The roster construction has not been great. And then if you were watching any sort of TV this morning or any, you know, even maybe alerts on your phone, you probably heard about Simone Biles. Now, Simone Biles is probably the most well-known gymnast in history, at least recent history. She is the most decorated athlete at these Olympic Games. She is just a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. And I mean, she does things that that only she is able to do. No other person in the world can do some of these moves she does. Now, I don't claim to be an expert at gymnastics, but I've seen a little bit here and there, and what she can do is just out of this world. But you know, there were some a alerts and things that came through. Again, we can't watch it live because, you know, that's the way NBC does it. But apparently she was pulled out of the team competition for the U.S. I think she can still compete in the individual ones, but that really hurts the U.S. chances. Hopefully she's at least healthy enough to compete in some of those other events, and hopefully she's just healthy, you know, for her sake. But I don't know if it was a leg injury or what it was that she had to pull out this morning. So good luck to her, best wishes to her and the U.S. going forward. Now, I do want to share the, I want to end on a positive note. Now, her name is Lydia Jacoby. She's only 17 years old. She is from the state of Alaska. I was watching this last night and this was awesome. This was probably, you know, I don't watch a ton of Olympics. They're sort of like, I want to call them sort of like an appetizer. You're like at a party, you're walking around and you see something you like and you might grab it, or in this case, watch it. So, you know, if swimming's on, I'll watch it. If, you know, I've watched a little bit of rowing randomly. I've watched a little bit of the 3-on-3 basketball, which is kind of cool. But last night the swimming and the gymnastics was on. So I watched a little bit of the swimming, and this girl, it was just awesome what they did. She is the first Olympic swimmer from the state of Alaska. They only have one 50 meter pool in the entire state of Alaska, and that's what you compete in the Olympics, 50 meters. So she doesn't even train in the correct pool to compete, but she still won her event last night. And I want to show you a video. This was the coolest thing for me, and this was the coolest part of the Olympics. So I just want to show you a celebration. This was somewhere back in her hometown of Seward, Alaska, or Seward, Alaska, I believe it's called. So let's just go ahead and watch this clip. All right. So just the absolute passion. You could tell those kids are genuinely rooting for her and wishing her well. And what an awesome moment for that town, for that athlete. So congratulations again to Lydia Jacoby. They do try to feature a ton of these profiles on these athletes during the Olympics. And I think that will be one that we definitely see more of going forward. So congratulations to her. So that, I just wanted to give a quick rundown of the Olympics. And that's what, you know, I kind of wanted to end on a feel good story there. All right. So yeah. And again, we'll touch base on Thursday with more Olympic news. So let's go now to our top five Tuesday that we do every Tuesday. And we've done top five Tuesdays on just about everything from movies to athletes to NFL draft picks to whatever. So my top five Tuesday today is going to be on top five NBA number one. Now, they can't be a different pick. It has to be a number one overall pick in NBA draft. So here is the list I came up with. These guys are in no particular order, but these are the top five I came up with. So Anthony Bennett of the Cleveland Cavaliers, just an absolutely, this probably is the worst one. Lucas, before I go on anymore, cause you're laughing, what do you think about this list or him?
I'm laughing at Kwame Brown. Oh. He was an awful pick.
Oh, man. Oh, I think Michael Jordan, did Jordan play with? I think that's when Jordan was on the Wizards.
Yeah,
he might have played in that same era. But yeah, Kwame Brown, so bad. Anthony Bennett specifically sticks out to me because I'm a Cavs fan. They were going through some rebuilding, and this was right before LeBron. So actually, Anthony Bennett was part of the like Andrew Wiggins trade that brought Kevin Love to Cleveland. So all in all, that helped get Kevin Love to help, you know, get the Cavs a better player. But he was just such a bad, bad player. The, I want to say it was Victor Oladipo that went second in that draft. There wasn't, that draft was not stud loaded. Like this one is coming up, where like other ones we've seen, like 2003 wasn't the, probably one of the best classes of all time. So Anthony Bennett, huge bust for the Cavs. Kwame Brown, Washington Wizards. I think he came right out of high school. So I always feel really bad for guys that come right out of high school and just, you know, they, you can't do that right now, but yeah, they might go back to that in the near future. But yeah, Kwame Brown just didn't have the goods.
No, he definitely dropped the bag.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes, you know, you're drafting 18-year-old kids that might not have the mental toughness or mental maturity, you know, at the time to make a, an impact on a team, let alone, you know,
I mean, you hand an 18-year-old a couple $1 million check.
True.
You don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
You know what I mean, they need, I'm sure there's coaches and I'm sure the team has, you know, financial advisors and stuff like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's their money. And exactly. I think that plays a big role with young draft picks.
No doubt. No doubt.
Because, you know, they see all this money and you never know what'll happen.
Exactly. That's a great point. And sometimes they're expected to be stars right away too, and they're not ready for that. Sometimes these guys, it's almost like an NFL quarterback. Like if you throw them into the fire, sometimes that will help their growth, or other times it could go the opposite way and burn them out.
Right.
And so
you never know what would happen if they got drafted to a different team.
Mm-hmm.
Like what kind of mentor is on that team.
Exactly.
Like they get drafted the wrong team, they're done.
And usually if you're drafted number one, you're not a good
team.
Going
to the wrong team.
Yeah. Right, right. The next one I want to talk about is Markelle Fultz. Now, Markelle Fultz started to have a little bit of a resurgence, and then he tore his ACL last year. He actually is with the Orlando Magic now. But he was drafted number one overall by the Philadelphia 76ers, and this was part of the process they were going through with Joel Embiid, with Ben Simmons, and others. But here's my biggest point with this trade. First of all, this guy got in his own head, couldn't shoot. They're doing something in Philadelphia to these number one picks and make him not be able to shoot. But Markelle Fultz was from a bad college team. He played at the University of Washington, and I don't think they even made the NCAA tournament. I think they were like 10 and 12 or 10 and 15, something like that, his only year of playing. And he just, you know, a nice player, good athlete, which all NBA players are, you know, they're good athletes, but just wasn't ready for the spotlight. And here's my biggest problem with this pick. They actually traded with Boston, and Boston ended up taking Jason Tatum with that pick. So with a third overall pick, they traded up to get him. So they basically gave up Jason Tatum and multiple picks for the right to draft Markelle Fultz, which ended up turning out to be a huge bust for them. And could you imagine Jason Tatum with Ben Simmons, with Joel Embiid, and what that Philadelphia team, how that could have been different for them going forward, you know? So one miss in a draft pick can make a huge difference for a team. Next one, Michael Olowokandi. This is going back, you know, two decades or so with the Clippers, but just another one. They used to call him the Candy Man when he first came in, but he was just not a guy that lived up to the hype. Just, you know, didn't produce much on the court, and was not in the league very long. So Michael Olowokandi, another one. Now there's a bunch going way back in the 70s and 60s that I could name, but I never saw him play, so I can't make any historical references on that. So the last guy I went with this guy because of who was drafted after him. Greg Oden in 07, I believe it was taken first overall. Kevin Durant was taken number two behind him. Now, the reason I put Greg Oden on here was because of that Kevin Garnett, I always mix those two up. Kevin Durant went number two, and Durant actually went to the Seattle Supersonics, who then became the Oklahoma City Thunder. But Oden, who was obviously an Ohio State Buckeye, who had an awesome he only played his freshman year with the Buckeyes. Great freshman year. But where I feel really bad is this wasn't because of performance. This was because of injury. So Greg Oden doesn't get the full label bust on him, I think, because of injury. Now that's part of it, whether you make it or not is injury and health. But I really think this guy could have been, I guess I kind of want to compare him to a DeAndre Ayton type player, like a 7'1" guy that has some okay touch around the rim, but a great defender. So, Greg Oden, he's a what if for me. What if he stays healthy? I think he could have been a really, really good player. So those are my lists. Now, obviously, if we opened it up to huge ones, you could go Darko Milicic in that one draft when you had LeBron going one, you had Chris Bosh going two or three, I believe. You had who else was in that? Dwayne Wade was in that. Carmelo Anthony. So all those guys in that one. So Darko Milicic going two would have been a huge bust too. So any others you can think of?
When you mentioned Greg Oden and you talk about injury, I mean, you think about the player that Jabari Parker could have been.
Yes.
That's the one. When injury comes to mind, it's him and Derrick Rose. Like,
great point.
And well, I mean, Derrick Rose is, back.
And he's been able to do some great things, but what could he have been?
Like, if he never,
yeah.
I mean, oh man.
Derrick Rose. And I mean, he had a nice season this past year, but former MVP and just freakish. He went toe to toe with those LeBron Miami teams. Yeah. Too and
by himself,
yeah, and yeah. It's just a shame what he,
yeah,
those injuries.
Yeah, hey. Jabari Parker had all the tools to be an amazing superstar. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, he's good, but the injuries is what really killed
sure,
him. And
sure, I
think also team management.
That's a great point.
We could get into that.
But and well,
he was number two, I think.
He was. You're right. Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins was first.
That was right. Yep. Good was call.
It? Yeah.
Yep. 2014, one of those.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into now this year's current draft class. This year is a loaded NBA draft. Now, I've looked into the top, I guess you could say the top consensus five guys. For the next couple of minutes, we're only going to talk about the top three guys. The Cavs pick third. And I think there are, and I'm just going to read this quote straight from Adrian Wojnarowski. Jalen Greed, Cade Cunningham, and Evan Mobley are number one picks in pretty much every draft. This draft legitimately has three number one caliber players. This was from Mike Schmitz, who is an ESPN draft analyst. So these top three prospects are just freakishly talented. So we'll start with Cade Cunningham. That's who most people think is going to go number one to the Detroit Pistons overall. He's 6'8". He can play the point guard spot. He can play the two or the three spot. But I think he's going to kind of be that point forward type role, kind of like what a LeBron does, kind of what a Ben Simmons does. He's able to shoot from the outside. He's able to do pretty much everything well, and he's going to be a lanky guy that's going to be able to help out on the wings and help shut down people on the defensive end as well. The next guy is Jalen Green. Jalen Green played last year in the NBA G League with the Ignite. I've heard he has the highest ceiling in this draft, meaning he could be the best overall player when it's all said and done in like 10 years from now. He's probably going to be the highest scorer out of these three and probably the most impactful right away, at least in my opinion. But Jalen Green is a 6'5" shooting guard. The shooting guard spot in the NBA might be the weakest position, or we had talked about that last week with Devin Booker and James Harden. And there's a few other guys you can throw in there, but he could come in right away and be a top five shooting guard in the league and start for whoever he gets drafted to. Now, he makes a lot of sense for the Houston Rockets at number two. Will he go there? I guess that remains to be seen, but draft experts think that that's a nice fit for them. If he falls to number three in Cleveland, the Cavs, I'm sure, would love to have him, but then you have to make a trade. You have to get rid of Colin Sexton. You can't have Colin Sexton Jalen Green and Darius Garland on your roster, and Isaac Okoro, who also is about the same body type as Jalen Green. So the Cavs are going to have a lot of nice options at one, two, and three, which with whatever guy is left. Now, the third guy is Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley is a 7 foot, 7 foot one center, power forward, stretch four, whatever you want to call him, that played 1 year at USC. He is, and now this is a comparison I heard on this guy, which what makes me think you got to take this guy number one overall, which I don't think the Pistons are going to do, but he is compared to Chris Bosh on offense, who Chris Bosh obviously was a year in year out all-star until he had some heart issues and had to retire. And obviously on those LeBron Dwayne Wade championship teams with the Miami Heat. And he is compared to Anthony Davis on the defensive end. This is a guy that can hit the three, can be a rim protector on defense, can play face up to the basket, dribble drive. You know, he can back down a defender, and he's only going to get bigger. He's 7 foot. I don't know the weight on him, but he's going to bulk up in the NBA, and he's just going to get bigger, stronger, faster. So for me, this is the guy I want. The cat. I am all in on this guy right here. So if he falls to the Cavs, sorry, I was reading my notes and looked at the word Browns. But if he falls to the Cavs at number three, I'm all in on this dude. So give me Evan Mobley all day of the week. I'll take him at three. If Jalen Green falls to the Cavs at number three, we'll take him. And if somehow Cade Cunningham falls to the Cavs at number three, I will take any of those three guys. So that's kind of where we are with the draft stuff. So we'll see. We'll have a little bit more if there's any news on Thursday. We'll have that for you. Switching now to football. A lot of big football news. I'm going to start with like some minor stuff and then get into some of the major stuff. So first of all, the Browns unveiled their 75-year jerseys. Anniversary jerseys. These are pretty sweet. I just like how simple they are, but like the block lettering, just very, very cool. The helmet's going to still be orange, but with a white stripe, and they'll have numbers on it. Now they'll wear these, you know, probably once a year, but, just a cool looking uniform. So, that's our first football note. Now over the weekend too, Aaron Rodgers, and Devontae Adams both put this Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen post on their Instagram, which shows like them fist bumping and like saying, hey, we're out after this. And this is kind of like saying, hey, we're going to have one last dance, just like Jordan and Pippen in the Bulls in 1998. So I thought this was interesting. This is kind of telling. It's a little bit cryptic. It's a little bit childish, maybe, you know, yeah, to do that on your social media. But Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, MVP of the league this past season. But I think we're going to be seeing him back with Green Bay. This next note we'll show you here in a second. We'll kind of say there's an agreement on the way. But basically, the Packers are bending over backwards for this guy. So it says, to ensure the return of their reigning NFL MVP quarterback, the Packers now have offered enough concessions to convince Aaron Rodgers to return to Green Bay for one more year. So they're basically going to void his contract for the following year so he can just leave. He can go wherever he wants or be traded wherever he wants. So this guy basically is acting like a kid that's not getting what they want in the store. You throw a fit and you make, you know, your parent buy that candy bar or whatever it might be. So not a huge fan of this move, but you can see this sometimes in the NBA where guys force their way out to a different team, but you rarely see this in the NFL. And Green Bay is a little bit different of an organization where they don't have an owner. They're owned by the city. So they have sort of like trustees that run it. They do have a GM, but Aaron Rodgers does not agree with this GM, doesn't like him. They don't get along. It is what it is, but you know, we'll see how that all plays out in the next couple weeks. But training camp, he did show up apparently, or else would have faced a fine. I saw Deshaun Watson, that's another thing we're going to have to keep an eye on because he's got a ton of lawsuits against him. He still wants traded from the Texans, but I don't know if they're going to be able to play him. So we'll see how that works out in the near future. Next note, let's switch to college sports real quick here. So Ohio State, I saw this note over the weekend and I just thought this was amazing. I knew Ohio State had the number one recruiting class in football for the 2022 class. But now, as of right now, they have the number one recruiting class in college basketball as well for 2022. So a lot of really good things going on in Columbus. Just very, very cool. And also over Big Ten Media Days, Jim Harbaugh. And you know, Jim Harbaugh always has great, great comments, great one-liners. He has, knock on wood, yet to beat Ohio State. And a lot of Buckeye fans, including myself, wouldn't mind if we gave this guy a lifetime contract. But he said, we're going to do it or die trying on beating Ohio State, is what he said. So good riddance and rest in peace to Jim Harbaugh on dying trying. So now, big news. This is the biggest news over the weekend. So I have up on our screen four different areas of the country, and these are proposed realignments that, you know, an organization put together. So over the weekend, Texas and Oklahoma have announced they're not renewing their contract with the Big 12. So that basically means the Big 12 is going to dissolve. It's going to go away because those are your two. That would be like Ohio State and Michigan leaving the Big Ten. You know, it's just not going to happen. Or Alabama and Florida leaving the SEC, or USC and Oregon leaving the Pac-12. It's just not going to happen. So it almost appears as if we're going to go into four super conferences. So now that Texas and Oklahoma have sort of tipped their hat and said, we're going to the SEC, that's going to give them 16 teams now. So the current 14, you add Oklahoma, you add Texas. What's going to happen to the Big 12? Basically, these other conferences are going to come in and poach these teams. So what could it mean for Notre Dame? What could it mean for Kansas and Iowa State and Oklahoma State? I've heard Oklahoma State and the Big Ten are a nice fit. I've heard Kansas for the Big Ten. Now, Kansas football isn't anything to write home about, but Kansas basketball is a powerhouse. For a lot of these schools, for a lot of these conferences, it's about not necessarily what the school is doing currently, but the market it will bring to the network and the dollars that will come in. So I'm wearing green today. We all know, you know, it's, you know, we say the team colors, but we know everything is run by green. You know what I mean? Everything is, the money will decide where a lot of these things go. Notre Dame seems to be a fit in the ACC. However, this is just my dream scenario with the Big Ten. And I'm just going to say this, I don't think it's going to happen, but if the Big Ten could somehow get Notre Dame and somehow get USC, those would be the two schools I would want the Big Ten adding. Now, regionally, does USC and Southern California make sense in the Big Ten? No, but I think we can throw all that stuff out the window now. There's no real point for me to speculate on what's going to happen because this is just the beginning. You know, Texas and Oklahoma now leaving the Big 12, going to the SEC is just going to open up a whole box of random stuff that we'll see what comes of it. But we have not seen the last of this, that's for sure. Now, they will remain in the Big 12 for a couple more years until their contract expires, but that's sort of where we are right now. So we'll see. Geography, you know, used to mean a lot when it came to college sports. Hopefully they're able to still keep some of these regional rivalries together. But, you know, with these super conferences, we just don't know. So a lot to be seen. And basketball and football are the main driving forces and the main income sources. So we'll see how that's all put together. So looks like Texas and Oklahoma will be in the SEC going forward. Not 100% yet confirmed. They are out of the Big 12, but we'll see if they do land in the SEC. It looks like that is a for sure almost. And now a couple more little notes before we close out our show. So I got to give credit to Youngstown Clothing Company, our friend Matt, and you know, the other people over there at Youngstown Clothing Company. They put this together. I actually had this written down as a show segment that I want to do in the future. And I saw this. So if you're listening on podcasts and you remember like Saturday mornings, they used to do The More You Know with like these little inspirational messages or these little wise tips. They put together it, The More You Yo. And I just love that. So this one was about Arby's. And over the past weekend, anyone from Boardman, I think, knows this, but not everybody, even in our area, knows this. So I'm just going to read it off the Instagram post. So on July 23rd, 1964, so this past weekend, 57 years ago, the brothers Leroy and Forrest Raffel opened the first Arby's roast beef restaurant in Boardman, Ohio. So no beef and cheddars or French dip. They simply offered classic roast beef sandwich with a buttered and toasted bun that was designed by Schwebel's, which is another cool fact. The brothers credit the hardworking people of Youngstown as an important factor for the company's early success. So I just thought that was really neat and something that could have been, you know, just in a, you know, it's Arby's, whatever, you know, whether you like it or not, but it has grown to a major national company. And the fact that it started right here in Boardman is pretty cool. If you know where St. Charles Church is in Boardman, it's right across the street. It's not in the current Arby's location, but there's actually a store. It's like a bird store that's over there. And that's the building it was actually housed in. So just kind of a cool, cool note. One other note from this past weekend. So 41 years ago, this past weekend, local caddy Danny Noonan filled in for an injured Al Cervic and sank the winning putt in a $40,000 match to beat Judge Smales and Dr. Beeper at the famed Bushwood Country Club. So Caddyshack, little nod to Caddyshack from this past weekend. So on the 41-year anniversary. Also the 40-year anniversary of movie Stripes with Bill Murray, who was also in Caddyshack. And then finally, I just want to remind people of the event, the Molina, the Choose Joy for Molina event. That will be August 7th on the green in Canfield. I believe it's from 11:30 to 4. Check on their Facebook site. And if you weren't able to watch our show before this, our 12:30 show, make sure you tune in that to hear all about Molina's story and the foundation that's now created in her memory and her honor. So I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in today. We had kind of like all over the board, which we generally do. That's what we do on the show. But appreciate everybody listening. We'll be back on Thursday with plenty more information and plenty more sports news and notes. So everybody have a great day. We'll
thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.